Leaving on a jet plane.
I knew there'd be a song somewhere in here.
Welcome to this week's edition to the Weekly Travel Alert. I'm Steve Glenn.
I'm Paul Glenn.
And we're going to have a lot of fun today. We just got back from where, Paul?
I got back from Istanbul. Where are you getting back from?
I actually am flying back from Istanbul, too, but I had to go to Athens and Rome and then back to Istanbul, so...
The whirlwind.
Wow. So, hey, we're having fun on the Weekly Travel Alert. Every week we send this email out to 100,000 people that want to get our Weekly Travel Alert from Executive Travel. Paul's the CEO there. I'm the chairman. We have with us today Ryan Swihart. Ryan's our trustworthy hashtag Snerdly keyboard. All the
he makes us look good. Yeah, he tries. Yeah, I mean, there's only so much you can do, but he gives his best. I can tell you that.
All right, so we're gonna have fun. You know what I thought about, Paul? Traveling all that international stuff. You and I do that almost every month, but all the things that people need to do. I put together a list of 18 things that people need to do before they get on a plane and go internationally. Mm-hmm. And these will safeguard you from finding problems when you're on that trip to Italy.
Wherever you're going, yes, your whirlwind. When you get your whirlwind, these things will save you some hassle.
So we're going to have fun today. We're going to go through them 1, 2, 3. Here we go. Here's the list of 18 things you need to make sure you do before traveling internationally. Number one, check your passport to make sure it does not expire within 6 months of the date of your return. Most people don't know that.
No, and that's one of those that I ran into somebody just yesterday that, you know, that was their worry. Was they? I think they're actually going to be traveling with you sometime, and they had mentioned that they didn't realize that they had to have their passport with more than 6 months from the date of the return.
Return date.
I think that's the other key to that is, it's got to be have at least 6 months worth of validation from the date of the return that you'll be returned into the States.
And it's not the U.S. that worries about it. It's the country you're going to. And they'll say, hey, I'm sorry you can't come in because they want to make sure you leave the country. And they do that with that 6 month. I just had a friend that is going to head to Europe, and he looked on. He says, my passport expires in July. Will that work? I go, no.
No, yeah.
And so he took his car to Minneapolis, took his passport into the passport place, and he's getting
expedited
in one day.
Okay. Wow. So, well, that's commitment.
I guess when it's expensive,
too. Go, exactly. Yeah.
Number two on this week's edition of the Weekly Travel Alert, of all the things you need to do when you're traveling internationally, you take care of these before you get on the plane. Check to see if a visa is required. And, Paul, the U.S. Embassy has a list that you can click on there and say, I'm going to Italy. And then, do you need a visa if you're a U.S. citizen, yes or no?
And I think the key is what your citizenship is.
Yes.
So, because I think that's where, you know, in the U.S., we've got many people with different citizenships. So it comes down to not, you know, where do you live, but what's your citizenship?
Right. Yeah, because you could be... You could live in the United States, but you have a citizenship in Great Britain, and that Great Britain is what
different requirements
requires for the requirements. Visa. So number one was the passport. Number two is the visa. Number three in this week's list of things you better do before you travel internationally, enroll in the Smart Traveler program. The State Department has that where you can put your trip in there so they know you're in, for example, if you went to Brazil.
Wherever you're at.
They would know where you're at. You put, hey, I'm staying at this hotel. So if something happens, they can notify you and try to get you information to get out of there.
Yep, yep.
So that's very important. But
and that's one that a lot of people don't think about.
I got to admit something. I'm a sinner.
Yeah,
I don't do it.
That's one of those, especially when you're going to someplace like Italy, you know,
sure.
you don't think that anything's going to come up that's going to, but when you look at what's going on in the world today, you can be anywhere.
Well, with your trip to Istanbul, you probably should have registered for this.
Yeah, I know.
Istanbul's probably a little bit edgy.
A little bit edgier.
Okay. Number four on this week's edition of the Weekly Traveler. You know, Executive Travel sponsor these. How many years have we been in business now?
Oh, going on 38 here.
38, yeah, but at the end of this year. So we're enjoying doing the business of travel. It reads, check for vaccination requirements. We never thought about this much, except when you go into China or India And you gotta, you literally got to get a hepatitis B or C or D or E, F, G.
You go to the medical center and they pull up a list of 50 different things that you need to be aware of before you go in there.
You know, and you get a flu shot sometimes. And I went in once and got four shots on my way to India.
Yep.
And so
and pills,
malaria pills.
Yeah, I mean, you've got other things besides vaccinations. And
so make sure you check that out. You can find that. Actually, there's the University of Nebraska, which we go to over here, has a doctor that specializes in immunizations for international travel. So that's a really good asset, and she's really friendly and helps out too. So number five. Check in with the airlines 24 hours prior to travel to confirm your flight and get seat assignments. So, Paul, why would you do that?
Well, for me, I'm getting those seat assignments at the time of booking.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that's a key, as especially if you use a travel management company. You should be able to get those, assuming you're on a standard carrier at the time of booking, unless you're on a carrier like a Southwest, but you're not going to be using them for international unless you're doing Mexico and things. But, yeah, getting those seats, double-checking. You know, I've seen more often in the last month or so, they're changing equipment, which means then they are automatically changing their seats.
The size of the airplane,
yes.
Right.
And so that when they do that, then they are moving people's seats. So you want to double check to make sure if you want that aisle seat, that if they changed your equipment, you still have that aisle seat.
Didn't you, Becky, benefit from that on a trip to Rome
recently?
We
did, yeah. It was one of those, I thank God that they changed equipment because they went from having 28 business class seats to 48 business class seats.
So they doubled.
So they more than almost doubled the business class seats, which then put her into being able to get
upgrade.
Because
she was on a wait list.
She was on a wait list,
And so when they went from 24 to 48, boom, she cleared, and I bet she smiled all the way there.
She was a happy camper,
and
Faith was a happy camper.
Right?
She got it both directions. They did the same thing both directions.
Yeah, so once again, ladies and gentlemen, check in with the airport and check online with them also to see if there's been a schedule change or a flight delay or anything like that. Number six on this week's edition of the Weekly Travel Alert reads, confirm your hotels, rental cars, etc. with your travel advisor. And also secure the 24-hour emergency phone number. So like our company has a 24-hour emergency number. If you're in Algeria, you can call that number and a professional agent will answer and help you out with that. So if you work with a travel advisor, travel agency, or what we call a travel management company, then you can access that 24-hour support, and that's very helpful.
And I think another thing, and I don't know if we have it on here, but to that, if you work with a travel advisor, I would suggest that you let them have a copy of your passport.
Absolutely.
So should anything come up, your passport gets misplaced or stolen, you've got somebody that's got that copy that they can help you then, since you've got something to go present to the embassy and get a replacement.
Yeah, we do that in all of our groups. I know our Women of the Midwest, which we have a lot of groups that go, they keep a copy of the passport. So if there's any problem, we can help you get out of that jam. Number seven in this week's Weekly Traveler, we've got a list of 18 things you better do before you go on that international flight. Purchase travel insurance. Your health insurance will not cover you abroad. Think about it, Paul. Let's say you spend $5,000 on per person on a trip to, you know, to Europe, okay? And we just had this happen. 3 days before the trip, your wife's father passes away, right? I mean, you're going to stay home.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you don't have insurance,
you could be out everything.
You could be out.
Any time after that final payment is done, then there are going to be penalties. And actually, from the time there's a deposit, there's likely to be penalties. And so, you know, a key to not just having the insurance also comes to when you purchase the insurance.
Right.
Because, you know, if you have any pre-existing conditions, much of the time, if you purchase that insurance within 2 weeks of when you put down that initial deposit, then your pre-existing conditions will also be covered. Where if you wait till after that 2 weeks, then purchase the insurance, they're not going to cover those. So if you've had prior heart issues or anything like that, and then something comes up, that's not going to be covered.
You know, our phone number here at Executive Travel is 402-435-8888. You can also find us at executivetravel.com. We have a Cracker Jack agent named Beth who knows everything about international travel insurance, and she can give you the skinny on it. So if you're thinking about getting travel insurance for your international, I know for me the health part of it is very important. because my health insurance doesn't cover me internationally.
Well, and if something goes awry while you're traveling, that health insurance or the insurance then gets it so that you're going to get medical coverage that would be at the level that we're used to here in the States.
You bet.
Because in a lot of countries, that medical experience may not be at the standards we're used to.
We're almost halfway through our list of 18 things you need to make sure you do before traveling internationally. Number 8 reads, call your bank and tell them, literally, you're traveling internationally, and so your credit card can be used. Yep. Many banks have fraud protection on your credit card. So if they see a charge from Spain and they don't know you're in Spain, guess what? They're going to think somebody's using your card and they'll block that charge. Yep. So if you call them and say, hey, I'm Steve Glenn, I'm going to Spain, I'll be here from here to there. And they'll say, well, we'll unlock it.
What dates are you going to be there?
Yeah.
All those things. And what areas are you going to be in? And then that way they'll know that these are going to be valid charges for you.
Also, you want to test out your PIN. If you don't use your PIN to get cash out regularly, that's probably how you'll get your cash. You'll get your euros out of an ATM in Europe. And so you'll want to be able to test your card here in the States, make sure you know or remember your PIN or change your PIN, and then go internationally. I've heard of people even getting a separate credit card just to travel internationally.
That's probably a wise idea.
Yeah.
At this point in the world, yeah. I mean, just get something that's got a small limit on it just for that, in case it does get compromised.
$500 a day or something.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Okay, number 9, call your cell phone provider and enable their international calling plan. It costs about $10 a day. Don't rely on Wi-Fi. Now, you don't have to use your calling plan, and you won't be billed that $10 a day if you don't use your data.
Yeah.
Okay? But if you use your phone or use your data, they'll charge you that $10 a day.
And I'm a big security guy.
Yeah.
So my thing is I actually then will use my laptop and utilize my cell phone hotspot even when I'm traveling internationally, just so that I know any data that I've got isn't going to be compromised because nobody else will be on my network.
We're ready to rumble with number 10. Thanks for joining us today on the Executive Travel Weekly Travel Alert, sponsored by Executive Travel. We've got Paul Glenn with me and Steve Glenn here. And of course, Ryan Swihart's looking down and looking so serious behind that camera. And
he's thinking about golf today.
Yeah, it's the weather's too good today for him. So anyway, we're on number 10. Purchase an electric converter adapter so you can charge your phone, and also purchase a battery charger. You know, those battery chargers that you can throw in your...
Keep your phone going.
Keep your phone going if you can't find a charger. Now, it's important that you find a converter that converts 220 down to 110, and also an adapter, which is the plug, the type of plug. They fit together, and then you don't have to worry about frying any of your electronics.
Yeah, I got one. Actually, Jennifer, our president, turned me on to one last time when we were in Italy. And it's got multiple standard US plugins, but it's also got 3 USB plugins. So you can actually have 6 devices plugged in at one time, and it's a converter for all. So it works wonderful.
Well, I need one of those, and my birthday's coming up, Paul.
Is it? All right.
Yeah. Well, what do you think?
Makes it easy for me. You tell me what you want.
All right. The number 11 on this week's list of the Weekly Traveler reads, double check your medications to make sure you have enough for the duration of your trip. Don't pack them in their checked luggage, only in your carry-on, and make copies of your prescriptions on your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you lose them, you could go into a pharmacy, perhaps contact the doctor. And it's amazing, though, in Europe, you can get a lot of medication
you can't
get over here,
yeah.
And you don't even need a prescription.
Yeah.
So especially with things for colds and stuff like that.
And I know there are certain medications where they will limit how much you can take. So if you have a longer trip, you might actually need your doctor to issue you another prescription that you could go have filled while you're on your trip. So all things to consider.
You bet. Number 12 on this week's list of 18 things you better do before you go on that international trip reads, enroll in the Global Entry Program and the TSA PreCheck Program for expedited security clearance. I can't tell you how many hours upon hours this has saved me.
Oh, yeah. And coming back from Europe here a couple weeks back, I had always thought that if you were had a child traveling with their parents, that they would be able to go through global entry. No. I learned that the hard way. Uh-huh. So doesn't matter how old you are.
You left your child behind.
Well, I decided I didn't want to get divorced. So we luckily had an agent that helped us get into the fast line on the other side. But no, since then we got to Chicago, got in the airport. We got her signed up for global entry. She'll be doing her interview before we go back to Europe.
You know, two times a year, we usually have the TSA agents come to executive travel at our office at 1212 O Street, and they actually do all the interviews here for 3 days from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
They're coming in May.
Sometime in May.
I think May 14th, 15th, 16th. So if you are looking for that, go online, and a lot of times you'll get approved for your general global entry within a couple days. And then once you get that approval, you go back into their site, and you can actually scroll down to Nebraska. Executive travel will show up there. You can click on there and see if there are times left. But I think they are going to come one more time, potentially this summer. So if you can't get it by the time there's still space in May, then still go ahead and get registered and get that approval. And then as soon as we get the dates for, I think, June or July, we'll let you know, and you can come in and do your interviews here.
I can't tell you how important it is to get a global entry. Some of the lines coming in are 2 hours long if you don't have it. I can get through in about 10 seconds.
I was going to say, it's less than 30 seconds.
Yeah, so that's very, very important. Underline that today. Number 13 says, take $500 in cash in the currency of the country you are visiting to pay for incidentals. Now, I used to always say to people, don't worry about it. Take your credit card, get to the ATM when you arrive, and get your cash. But sometimes things just don't work out right. And I want to have people have security of some of the, if you're going to Italy, you want euros. If you're going to Great Britain, you know, you're going to have pounds. But get that beforehand, have it in your wallet, and just have confidence, not worrying about, does that ATM work?
Well, and usually if you've got your local bank, they can tend to get it in within a week. So right. If you know where you're going, work with your local bank, and they should be able to help you out with that.
Number 14 reads, download the airline app you are flying on. Also other apps like Google Translate, Google Maps, other things. But if you plug your record locator into the airline app, your flight will come up. They'll notify you of changes. So make sure if you're flying on United, download United. You can watch movies on it. If you're flying on Delta, download the Delta app on your phone, all those things.
And if you're traveling internationally, especially if you're doing it more than once in your lifetime, you should probably get a frequent flyer number with that carrier, which then everything will automatically be on that app. And then you go in and, you know, I'll go in and put – to send me notifications. And so it's all very quick and easy. And that's always the days I'm taking off, especially when I'm taking off from Lincoln. First thing I do is look and say, is the flight leaving Lincoln on time, or can I go back to bed for another hour?
Hey, number 15 on this list of 18 things you better do before you go internationally reads, purchase an international driving permit if you are renting a car in Europe, especially. Now, here's the funny thing. You don't need that driving permit, international driving, to rent a car. But if you get pulled over for a traffic violation or any like a toll or anything like that.
You're in an accident.
Or you're in an accident, they're going to ticket you for not having it. So it's kind of one of those things that kind of doesn't make sense.
It's necessary evil.
And there's a lot of fraud on that on the internet, too. There's a jillion people that want to sell you a piece of paper for 10 or 20 bucks, but it's not worth anything.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, I know locally all you have to do is go to the AAA, and I think they charge $29 or something like that. So it's not outrageous, and it lasts for a year. So pretty quick and painless, and it'll save you a lot of hassle if something does go awry.
Number 16 of my list of 18 reads, check the 10-day weather forecast for your destination you're traveling to pack accordingly. I go to Italy a lot. Sometimes I don't need to take a heavy coat.
No.
Why pack it?
Yeah.
You know, because I'm going to just go with carry-on. I'm not going to do all this other stuff. So you can kind of look, hey, is it going to be hot? Is it going to be moderate? Is it going to rain? I always recommend you have some kind of light rain jacket.
Or an umbrella.
Or an umbrella.
If you're actually checking a bag, an umbrella is very easy to take along. So
You bet. Number 17 hits right at the heart. I'm going to hit this hard. Do not check on luggage, okay? Pack only carry-on luggage so you don't waste time waiting for your luggage at the airport carousel. It gives you freedom. If your flight gets canceled, you need to get another flight, you just take your luggage with you. They'll always ask you, did you check a bag? And if you say yes, they're going to keep you on that flight.
Yep.
You know, so, and also, if you buy the cheapest airfare, that economy, what do they call that?
Economy plus. Well, basic economy.
Basic economy. Okay, so if you buy that basic economy, the cheapest flight to Europe, let's say it's $1,000. What you'll find is that doesn't include any checked luggage. $150 there, $150 back. You'll pay $300 to check that bag.
Actually, it may make it so that you can't even use the overheads.
Right.
Like what they do allow is only what'll fit in the below the seat in front of you.
I just checked today on United Airlines the difference between basic economy, where you have to pay for a bag, and regular economy is $200.
Okay.
So basically, they're factoring in it's cheaper
to
buy.
Round trip?
Round trip.
Okay. Yeah. You're better off.
You're better off buying a $200 more expensive ticket. You get some extra bennies with that. So please, come on. Just do carry-on luggage. And they have laundromats. You can get things laundered over in Europe and China and India. They all have to
get
clean
clothes. They wash clothes everywhere in the world?
Yeah, they do.
They do?
Okay.
They do.
Okay. Number 18. We finally get to the end.
Slowly but surely.
Here we go. If your trip is longer than 7 days, take an Uber to the airport. The other day, I went with friends on a long 10-day trip.
Okay.
Came out of the parking garage. The cost to park my car was over $220.
I know.
$220.
No, Omaha, I think, is up to $23 a day to park in the garage, which, yeah, I mean, that adds up real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I could park at a friend's house in West Omaha
and
Uber for $20.
Yeah. Or work with your advisor or local hotels. A lot of hotels that are near the airports will have a park and stay program. So if you go in the night before your flight, they'll let you leave your vehicle there while you're gone and then use their shuttle to get to the airport, and they'll pick you up when you get back. So lots of alternative options.
Well, and you travel a lot from the Lincoln Airport, and I think the parking there is a lot cheaper, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the garage in Lincoln's $9.50 a day. So
wow.
Yeah, you can get it 3 days for the price of one.
You bet. So those are the 18 things we ask you to consider before you get on that jet plane. Leaving on a jet plane.
I knew there'd be a song somewhere in here.
Was that Peter, Paul, and Mary? I'll have to look that one up. But that was definitely the 60s, I think, if not the 50s. We're glad you joined us this week on The Weekly Traveler. We had a lot of fun sharing these ideas with you. And we're going to be using this video to send out to many of our travelers that travel internationally in 2024, just to give them a little heads up so their trip goes easy. I'm Steve Glenn.
I'm Paul Glenn. Please like, subscribe, share, and add any comments below so we can make sure we're hitting on topics that are of interest or important to you in a future episode. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.